Hi guys, welcome back to the show. My name is Vicky McLeod and this is the Europe is Coming podcast. Hey, quarterfinals are over. What was it like from the inside? Do coaches have a secret society? And why does the width of boxes matter so much? All of this and training tips from John in this week's episode of Europe is Coming. Hope you enjoy. It must be Tuesday if I'm speaking to you. It's Tuesday afternoon, it's the 23rd of April. We have come through quarterfinals. I feel like in a bit of a blaze of glory, John, because Moritz and Jacqueline both finished really well. Who else is in there? Luca?
Yeah, Luca, Thiago's in there. We have a few Erica's in there. So we have six athletes who are inside. We've got a couple of athletes who are really tight, like Europe only gets 40 places and they're like in that 45th spot. So we've got a couple of athletes as well who are sitting like within that 60. And I think that's a really hard one because obviously last year, top 60 went, this year only top 40 goes. So that's a tough position for those athletes to be in. But yes, quarterfinals are done.
I did notice that both Matilda and Lena, who are both in a team, also did semis, did quarters.
There's a few in there, Nicole Herr as well. Mm-hmm. Like they obviously, one thing that's nice is it can put them onto the, there's a whole weird thing in CrossFit now with the leaderboard, the worldwide leaderboard, which no one really understands, but it can have all these weird implications in the sense of how many spaces are going to get, or we're going to get in Europe, or how all spaces are determined. And you need to do quarterfinals in order to get a placing on this year's leaderboard where they take the top 100, and these things kind of have knock-on effects. So it's really good when the team athletes do that because it can help Europe get more places.
They did one for the continent, basically.
Yeah, took one for the team.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the overall experience of last weekend. How was it for you?
I don't know how many years I'm into CrossFit doing online competitions, but they have a way of just not necessarily ever being easier. It's just, We had six athletes over. We had three coaches. So Dom was here, Chris, we had Shane helping out a bit, and Patrick. So we had like a relatively big team. I think there's this level of knowing when you submit the scores, how you're going to do, which adds into a slight more anxiety level for people involved. So a long 5 days, but we got through. And as you mentioned at the start, we have some really nice results, which is good.
Yeah, it's good to see so many familiar names in there that I've met and know. So it's to see that.
Yeah, and there are some phenomenal things. I mean, Tia, wow.
Yes,
just, Tia. It's like you almost don't even speak about it because it's like she's playing a different game. Mm. It's just her scores are incredible. I mean, just like out of this world good. So is and so consistent. So she's definitely going to be a real force to be reckoned with this year.
What could possibly be Tia's secret, and how can any other athlete bottle it?
I think we'd all be very rich people if we knew the answer.
Mm. What about the workouts themselves? How did you find them? What did you think about them? Any problems programming wise?
I thought in general the tests will allow good solid group of athletes to get through to the next stage. And I think that's what they were intended to do. I like that they were relatively simple to set up to execute. There weren't these extra movements in those kind of things. So I think in general, it was a solid quarterfinals programming. You had some gymnastic testing. You had some strength testing. You had stuff that would test your fitness, like conditioning capacity a bit more. We know this, though, over lots of years. You just have to be strong enough to be able to compete. And then when you need that, you need a certain level of conditioning and a certain level of gymnastics to be able to hold up there. Mm. So for most entry people, it's just about getting that strength number up.
How did Moritz do in the strength one?
The clean and jerk. He did well. He ended up 29 reps, so it was a very good placing. And last year, it was a couple of years ago, there was a workout with power or clean and jerks and burpee box jump overs. And that's actually a workout that he struggled with. So he's very strong, but not necessarily in power clean. So it was this slight hole that he's been working on very hard through the year and managed to improve that.
I came over to C23 on Saturday because she promised me a Red Bull.
Was your promise fulfilled?
I swiped one off the bar. So the Red Bull people weren't there, but I decided that given that there were cans, I better have one. I had the watermelon one. It was okay. I don't like real Red Bull. It's a bit too bully.
I have a thought. I mean, this is completely random.
Mm.
But as I was doing my Hyrox, and obviously Red Bull is like one of the main partners and sponsors of Hyrox. And I was just like, I think their branding is really cool. I love that they're involved in sports. I really like everything about it. I'm like, why haven't they just produced a water?
Yeah.
They have so many athletes, triathletes all around, endurance athletes, like runners, whatever it may be. I know they're like kind of famous being in the extreme sports world, but I just don't actually understand. And one of the ironies is like you're getting Hyrox, the Hyrox, sometimes you're getting the, like it's Red Bull branded cups with water in or something like that. And you're like, yeah. Why have you not started a sparkling water, still water, kind of on brand? And there's lots of companies that have done well in the space, like Liquid Death. I mean, it's a big market. So very random thought, but I was not sure. My guess is that what's happened is they want to stick to their branding if it gives you wings. And presumably sparkling water doesn't give you wings in the same way that caffeine does. But that's my thought.
But definitely, it's a sports drink, and that you also need to like have a recovery period, don't you? Like drinking caffeine when you're done with the caffeine is not going to be helping you, is it? So I totally agree with you.
Yeah. And I think the product placement would then be a lot better in terms of the athletes using it, especially the endurance athletes, you know, in the evening, drinking a can of Red Bull rather than just having to use it pre. They're obviously been a very successful company, but it was just an interesting thought.
Although if you're my daughter, Red Bull is a dirty word because of the Formula One team allowed to enjoy Red Bull. In fact, Monster is the only drink we're allowed to have in the house.
Oh, wow.
I know. She's
very political.
Die hard. Anyway, so back to my story about Moritz. So I was at C23 on Saturday morning, and it was really nice to see. I caught the end of Moritz and Jacqueline doing the very disgusting looking warble burpee box jump over whatever, yucky, it was like, it looked horrendous. And I was talking to Moritz afterwards. I said, how are you doing? And he looked at me and went, I'm fit. And he was like really happy with his time. And he was feeling really like confident. It was really nice to see him. And that sort of within himself, very confident. And I felt like he was really enjoying the weekend.
Yeah, he was. And it's nice when you perform well. And he performed well. So those things often go hand in hand. He really did well.
Yeah.
On this online stage, like capacity has not necessarily been like Moritz's strong point, and seeing that improve as well has been really nice. So it's going to be great seeing him on a competition floor.
So I have two insider questions to ask you. The first one is, because I overheard you guys talking and you said something like any time under 17 minutes is a good time or something like that. And I'd like to know how you know that.
You just speak with coaches or athletes might find out as the weekend goes on, you kind of just get drip fed some time, some information. I might speak with someone and send a message, like, you know, what do they think of good times? Or they ask me. And then you kind of slowly, this kind of hive mindset comes together a bit and everyone starts getting a better idea of what could be a competitive time.
So are you chatting with competitors and coaches as well?
Yeah, exactly. We'll speak, or certain other training camps they have a good relationship I'll speak with, and just kind of collect information that way. It's just useful for everyone. Because the big thing is that it's not really an advantage as such. Like the athlete's going to go out and do what they can do. But from a coaching side, it's like, how are we going to advise the athlete if they need to redo? What do we think is going to be a good time?
Mm-hmm.
And because it's online and people can repeat and all of those things, it's not like you throw down at a live competition. It doesn't necessarily help the athlete in the moment, but it might help inform the decision of if a repeat's needed or if we think it's going to be a time that stands up to get them into the top 40.
So you've got like an emotional support group going on with your fellow coaches?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Do you all tell each other, like, I'm knackered, these athletes are driving me crazy, I'm really stressed?
It tends to be more objective, but it's not like an outcry group for coaches.
Okay, and the second question I had for you about the insider stuff was that I was really surprised on Saturday, and it had never occurred to me before, that the boxes themselves could be narrower. And you had a box for women and a box for men at the right height, but it was narrower. And talk me through, and the listener, through the thinking behind that, and like, what are the rules, and how did you do it?
So it's one of those things of optimizing whatever we can optimize for the athletes. And the big thing with the standard box is, especially for females, if you take it to 20 inch, it's quite wide. And therefore, you can get these narrow boxes, which you'll often see them as like plyo boxes, where they're the ones that almost look like a bit of a triangle.
Mm.
They're narrow on top. So CrossFit allows the use of those boxes. We just don't have any of those boxes. And the big thing is the width of the jump over 150 reps might become significant. Now, the interesting thing about this is it doesn't necessarily impact the best of the world. Like, the best of the world can still get like amazing times without being that affected. However, if it might be that it helps the athlete get one or two more reps, and those one or two more reps are what caused them to go to semis or not, then it's like really hard knowing that we didn't do what was in our power to make that happen.
Mm.
So, you know, what could we control in that situation, that environment, to optimize the performance? Well, you know, the width of the box is one thing that we can do. So let's try and control that variable to know that we've done everything to help the athlete in that setting. Does it make a difference? It's not necessarily going to make, you know, someone who's mid-pack become elite. Well, it definitely won't make someone who's mid-pack become elite. I mean, that's 100% sure. It might, and this is a big might, give us a slight performance improvement. And that's when it goes, okay, well, then it's worth doing.
It made me think about the time when you talked the owner of Megasport into allowing you to do the online qualifiers for 2022?
It was the online semifinals in 22. So they divided it into German Throwdown and I think Lowlands.
Mm, yeah, that was it.
And Jacqueline was in. We had a very strong group of athletes over, you know, had Matilda, Jacqueline, Gabby, Erica. It was just like a really solid group that was training. And obviously, this was like your game spots was on the line here. It was so significant. It was in maybe late May, June, which is super hot in Mallorca.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I was like, you know, again, can we use an air conditioned place so it's cooler, which we know can improve performance? And I just think it's like, can I go to sleep at night knowing that I've done everything I can do to help the athletes be as good as they can? I think we had this conversation last week where I was like, I feel more dedicated as a coach than I do as an athlete. I mean, probably me as an athlete would have gone, fuck, it doesn't matter. I'll just do it in C23 rather than having to organize all this stuff. Whereas me as a coach goes, okay, well, might we get some performance benefit from being able to do it in a cooler environment? If the answer to that question is yes, then it's okay, well, we have to optimize this.
Well, I mean, like, the random thought that just popped into my head is that you're going to make a great dad.
Well, time will tell.
Well, you know, but it's like, that's a kind of like your parenting, like you're constantly looking for what can we work on to make this the best experience.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I think that I'm also very emotionally invested in the journey. Like, I want to see the athletes do well, and I really care. And I think that's why, you know, you go to these levels sometimes. I mean, it's very easy just say, it doesn't matter, just do it. But I think there's like a certain level of caring of where you help to try to progress those things forward.
Any surprises from your point of view about who's in the top 10 on the leaderboard for Europe?
No, I don't think so, actually. I think that I would say everyone expected to be in is more or less in. I mean, there's a couple of exceptions. I think Yonne's performance was very good as well. Coming, winning the Open, winning quarterfinals is pretty crazy. Yonne, I mean, I remember first watching Yonne in 2014 when he won European regionals. And to think of his 10-year journey as well to now, I mean, he's been in the sport a long time, a very high level. So can he take it to this next stage of pushing for a podium at the games or getting to that level? He's obviously showing that he's got that capability, but can he make it happen over that weekend?
Hey, sorry to interrupt this, but it would be very much appreciated if you'd give our show a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts and even share it with your friends. Thanks so much. Back to the chat.
I had to check how old he was because I thought that he was older than he is. It's like, I think, how can Janikowski, surely you'd be like pushing 35 by now, like you've been around.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to tell if you look at him, to be honest. Like,
yeah, and also,
he's in great condition, so how would you know? But it's like he's 29.
Because, you know, you've got to think who won back in 2014. I mean, this is pre-Sarah. This is like Annie back in the day, really in a different era. And Johnny was there and he won European regionals at that time. So he was kind of set to be the next guy chasing the podium. And he's had some great achievements in that time. He's like one of the only people to have worn the leader's jersey while Matt Fraser was also competing. So he's had this potential for a long time. The big question is, like, can it be realised on the game stage?
It must take so much mental strength to keep going when you're kind of like not maybe living up to what you think is your potential. Do you know what I mean? Like, if he's got people around him who are saying, you know, podium potential in 2015 or whatever, to still be going in 2024 and still reaching for that takes a lot.
I think it's a nice feeling being very good at what you do. And these guys, these athletes at the top are excellent at what they do, which is CrossFit. And I think there's a really nice motivating factor in that, even though you might not be reaching, say, the heights of winning or whatever it may be, you're still really good. And that's a very nice feeling going to competition, knowing that you're in the top heat, you're at the games, you're competing with the best, you're still kind of there. And so I do think that holds as like a big motivator, even though you might not have realized your full athletic potential, you're still pretty good.
Mm.
It was almost an insulting post in some ways, but Pat Vellner put this post up saying, you know, I've been really busy, I've had my second kid's on the way, I'm moving house, I had no time to train, no time to do anything. And it was just like a little break, me doing quarterfinal. And he ends up placing like fifth in the world.
Oh my God.
It just shows like how talented these athletes are.
And should we talk about as well, Gabby? Because first in Europe, beat Laura Horvath in a weightlifting event. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, Gabby performed really well. Winning Europe is, you know, Europe's the most stacked region there is, and so to win Europe is huge. It's just they tie third in the world as well, which is just not easy. It shows how stacked it is. Yeah, I mean, Laura, it's like an interesting result. I wonder if Laura's kind of carrying some injury or something like that, because typically Laura would be like the one to beat in the world, but her result maybe wasn't what she would usually expect with that. But she did very well in the gymnastics. You know, obviously it's like fifth in the world or something like that. So both of them did extremely well.
Mm.
Those top, there's like four female athletes in the world who are Tia, Emma Lawson, Gabby, and Alexis have like pretty incredible scores. There's like Tia's in a league of her own. Then you've got these three girls, Emma, Gabby, Alexis, who are a bit of a step. And then you go down to Laura and a bit, but that point jump is quite significant. Like all three in that group really executed.
Now, do we think that, I mean, like from a kind of peaking perspective, these guys they do like a peak for quarterfinals and they have a rest and then they peak again for semis, or is it just continuous now? I mean, like, I know I'm not really know what I'm talking about here, but like I know people prepare for these things, so what will they do now?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say that any of these girls went in particularly peaked or tapered. In the same thing, they won't have taken it just like a normal training weekend. You know, they'll have focused. They, I might, 99% of people won't have done any other training. However, most of them will want to go in very prepared for semis. And that's where a lot, you know, again, most people competing at semis will truly taper for that, so they're ready. And then games is like an interesting taper because you're doing a lot of events. You don't know what events those are going to be. There's lots of different possibilities from swimming, running, cycling, etc. Semis is a bit more restricted. You've got six events, or we guess it's six events, something like that. It's going to be more restricted than what they can do at the game stage.
Given that, you've got a semi-finals camp this weekend coming.
Yeah.
Straight in.
Yeah, it's been a busy, very busy period for us. But yeah, so this weekend, one of the reasons was because we're first week of semi-finals. We didn't want athletes to have to travel away from their home environment for too long pre-semis. So we wanted to get quarterfinals done, go straight into the semis camp, and then have a bit of a window for the athletes to do more specific stuff should they need, but get the opportunity to throw down a bit now. So we chose this weekend, and the athletes will be arriving on Saturday, and we start the camp on Sunday.
Who you got?
We have like 12 athletes. Emma McCade's going to join. She's very good friends with Jacqueline, so she'll be coming over. Erica's coming over, who I've not seen in many years, which will be really exciting to see her. Her and Chris have been working together, and it's great to see her back at a competitive level.
That's really good, because I mean, the last time we spoke about her, she had an injury.
Yeah, she had a low back injury that she's been dealing with for a while, but now she's back, qualified semi-finals. So
brilliant.
That's been an exciting journey. Tiago's coming over. Toby's one of the fringe athletes from Germany. So I think he's like 44, 45 at the moment. So if things shuffle around, he'll jump in. Yeah. So, and like I said, just should be a good group.
And what have you got planned for them? You're going to take them rollerblading?
No, it won't be usual games prep style. So we'll be mainly in C23, throwing down in more of the known and knowable elements.
Okay. And finally, training questions. This week,
yes.
I have a training question. You're going to snort tea out of your nose when I tell you this. Because in November, my husband and I are going to do a High Rocks in Valencia.
Oh, very exciting.
I'm not certain about that. I'm not a big runner. I'm much more a pusher of a sled. I'm good at those sorts of things, but I'm not a big runner. How, John, coach to the stars, can I improve on my running style, given that it's very heavy?
So there are a couple of things. Obviously, there's a technical aspect, and then there's another side, which is the volume in which you can manage to run. And I'd argue for people who are more in our situation of having full-time work and other things to do, it's like, how do I manage this volume of running, limiting my risk of injury whilst also being able to introduce it? And I would actually start, it's November, so it's like a good training time away, or like you've got a relatively long period of training. And what I would actually start is firstly a bit of some longer walks that might even be weighted. So like rucking or have maybe 90-minute walk, 2-hour walks, just to get the body accustomed to being on your feet under some kind of stress for that period of time. And I actually would reverse engineer the speed into that a little bit more. The High Rocks is probably going to take 90 minutes to 2 hours, somewhere in that time frame. And you're going to be on your feet for all of that. So I'd actually reverse engineer myself back in. The reason being is that you don't want to get injured.
No.
Because then that's really going to make everything very challenging to do, because you have to then work your conditioning on other machines, etc. And it's not going to be optimal for the running. So start in that 90-minute window. Once you feel comfortable with that, maybe then you start to turn that into a light jog, or maybe you do a period, say 5 minutes of jogging, 5 minutes of walking, and slowly and gradually build to the point where you can feel comfortable doing a light jog for 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But reverse engineer that back. I wouldn't worry about the pace so much. It's more just the body's ability to be able to handle it. Yeah, exactly. And I think it can be a nice, you can linear progress this in a nice way. You might start with a walk, then you might start for 90 minutes. Let's say we can achieve that quite comfortably. We then add a bit of load, because it's a bit of a different stress, but a stress nonetheless. Then we go, okay, I can handle a bit of load, maybe 5-10 kilo ruck for that 90 minutes walk. And you go, okay, I feel comfortable with that. Now I'm going to start adding some jogging in. Maybe I jog for 3 minutes, walk for 5 minutes, and carry that process on. And then eventually you get to the point where, maybe jogging for 4 minutes, walking for 1, until you can reach that continuous jog for the 90 minutes. And then when you're at that stage, I think you could bring on some other training protocols into it if you're feeling comfortable.
So what kind of frequency would I do with this walking, rucking? How often a week?
There's two things that are important here. One is at least getting it in once a week. I think you should really set yourself that goal of going, okay, once a week, I'm going to achieve this. We need to make it manageable.
Because
another big thing is people go, okay, I've signed up for something, and all of a sudden I start training 5 days a week. And again, we end up in this overtraining, possibly higher risk of injury state. And then to add in a bit of variance, you could maybe look at doing something shorter, more interval-based, if the body's feeling comfortable with it another time of the week as well. Because the other thing, you know, I obviously know you a bit more, you're doing CrossFit and other things within that week period. So you have other fitness modalities that are there, but something specific towards the building the capability of running, I think, is the most important thing.
Okay. I shall report back. The dog is looking at me underneath the table. Thinking,
well, the dog,
he'll be very
great,
helpful.
No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's, I mean, like, he is actually about 5 kilos and he's quite old, so I could just carry him around.
Hey. I think that's like achievable goal of once a week for 90 minutes. So just block off that 90 minutes and build back from there, I think, is a good place to start.
Okay. Well, that's brilliant. Thank you. If anybody has got a training question for John, like, you can just send us a message on the program Instagram, send us a DM, or you can message us on this episode on Spotify as well, or you can send an email to media@theprogram.com. So next week I will be, well, this weekend you're going to be with all your athletes. Well, we get to speak to each other next week. Are you going to be busy?
We'll make time.
Okie doke. Maybe I can come talk to them.
Yeah, that'd be really good. We'll be, the main training days are Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have a bit of a break. Some go home, some come back. But those 3 days are the main focus.
Are you putting them all somewhere? Are you all staying in a house?
All in different places. So we don't have one base.
All right. Well, maybe I'll come and do some roving reports, I think. So maybe as well, we could put a little question there up from the... Can you hear the dog growling?
Oh, I can hear some growling.
He's growling at me. Like, let's begin.
He's excited.
Now.
Yeah, exactly. He's excited about his new journey.
He's thrilled about the rucksack idea. So maybe I can also put up some questions on Instagram for the athletes. That could be quite interesting.
Yeah, that'd be a nice dive in.
Well, thank you, John. And congratulations on getting so many people from one stage to the next. You're very satisfied with that.
Thanks to the whole team.
Yeah, well done, everybody.
Thank you, John. My dog is very excited to start the training. Don't forget that if you have a question for us, you can email media@theprogram or send us a DM on Instagram or comment on this episode on Spotify. Until next time, thanks for listening and bye-bye.